is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. Notre Dame of Maryland University has begun demolition on the former Knights of Columbus building on Homeland Avenue in North Baltimore, marking the start of a long-planned partnership with Brightview Senior Living. The project will bring a senior living community to the university's campus, creating new opportunities for connection between students and older adults. Joining us to talk about the project are Dr. Mary Lou Yam, President of Notre Dame of Maryland University, and Austin Koo, Development Director at Brightview Senior Living. So Dr. Yam and Austin, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
So Dr. Yam, maybe we could start with you. Could you give us a general overview of this partnership? How did it come about and why is it important to the university?
Yes, George. So it really represents a historic moment for Notre Dame in Maryland and for higher education in the state. The site work that began last week is really the beginning to making Notre Dame the first college or university in the state to have a senior living community on its campus. And this distinction reflects our longstanding commitment to lifelong learning. We're mission aligned with Brightview. Brightview understands, along with Notre Dame, that proximity to an active university campus can enhance the quality of life for adults while also creating experiential learning opportunities for our students.
Austin, from Brightview's perspective, what attracted you to partnering with a Catholic university for this project? How does it fit in with your mission?
One of the things that attracted us is that we feel like we share a lot of the same values, things like dignity, service, and community. Catholic institutions have a long tradition of caring for the whole person, and that aligns really closely to Brightview's philosophy on senior living. So we're not just focused on providing care. We're focused on helping people stay connected, purposeful, and engaged. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we utilize is an acronym which represents our philosophy on resident well-being, and it's called SPICE, and it stands for spiritual, physical, intellectual, cultural, and emotional. So we try to create an environment in our communities that nurtures all five of these elements, and being on NDMU's campus creates natural opportunities for us to lean into all of these five areas. So we view this partnership as a way to magnify what both of us are already doing independently, and kind of bringing that together and amplifying it on both ends.
Dr. Yam, I know that Notre Dame has been very active in intergenerational learning for many years. I think for over 35 years, you've had the Renaissance Institute, which is geared for adults over 50 and offers them non-credit classes. How will the Brightview residents be able to participate in the Renaissance Institute programming? And how does this build on that tradition?
Sure, yes, it does build on that tradition, George. We've been promoting intergenerational lifelong learning for over 35 years, as you mentioned, with the Renaissance Institute for adults over age 50, with non-credit courses. The residents at Brightview will be able, if they so choose, to become members of the Renaissance Institute. In addition to that, the Brightview residents will have access to special campus lectures, art gallery openings, drama productions, athletic events, as well. At the same time, our students are benefiting from the unique opportunities that they will have through internships and service learning and other shared experiences across many disciplines. We have art therapy at Notre Dame, nursing, physician assistant studies, occupational therapy, integrative health, students with business as a major or communications and the arts, will also be able to have opportunities to share and dialogue with the residents.
Will the residents also be able to enroll in the undergraduate and graduate courses as well? And will they pay tuition? How does all that work?
Yes. So they can enroll if they so choose. They can also, if they choose, audit classes. We do have fees for that. In terms of, though, the special lectures and the art gallery openings and et cetera, the athletic events, all of those are free of charge for the Brightview, would be free of charge for the Brightview residents.
Okay. Seems like it's a great opportunity for a connection between generations. What are your hopes for how the students and seniors will enrich each other's lives?
Yeah, I think that what excites me the most is the life that will happen here on campus, as well as in the Brightview senior community. The conversations between the students and the Brightview residents, the shared learning, and that sense of belonging that will grow over time. We do know, research shows, that when adults engage with a community, social interactions, it increases intellectual stimulation and vitality. In other words, it has both cognitive and social benefits for the residents to exchange with the students.
Okay. And Austin, we had some demolition happen recently. Could you describe what kind of construction is underway and what will be some of the features of the new facility?
Yeah, so we started demolition of the existing structure on the site last Wednesday. And so that's fully underway. We think that the demolition will be complete in about a week. And really what that does is it paves the way for us to start vertical construction sometime later this year. We think that the construction period will be about 2 years. So we would open somewhere around sometime in 2028.
Okay.
And what we're foreseeing or contemplating for this community is about 171 total units. And that is going to consist of a mixture between independent living, assisted living, and memory care. Our independent living still has an average age at move-in of about 84 years old, but we have residents whose age range from the 70s all the way past 100. And in independent living, we are offering kind of active lifestyle with hassle-free living of no maintenance. And in assisted living, we are offering care, one-on-one care for people who may need help with things like managing medications or bathing. And then in our memory care, it's a secure neighborhood with special programs for people who are living with dementia. And so along with that mix of units, we're going to have a whole host of different amenities available on site, both inside the community itself, as well as in the surrounding areas outside, things such as restaurant-style dining in several different areas throughout the community, access to fitness and wellness programs, an art studio for creative activities, dedicated indoor and outdoor communal spaces for socializing, and different types of outings that we could bring into the community as well as outside.
Okay. And who is eligible to live in the community? Obviously, you have to be a senior, but are there other requirements, and how can people apply?
So in terms of requirements, the only requirement that we have to live in independent living units is that the resident must be able to live in their apartment independently, so without having to have one-on-one care. We do require a short health assessment before residents move into either the assisted living or dementia care to ensure that we're able to care for their needs. In terms of applying, we typically start active marketing as well as a sales office about 6 months after we break ground. So we're a little early at this juncture, but we have received a lot of early interest in this particular community based on its location. And so I think what we are doing right now is planning to have a kind of website location that people can go to and fill out a short form and have one of our sales directors contact them to inform them about dates and when they can formally apply. So I'd be happy to share that once that's up and running. But in the meantime, to get general information, people can go to www.brightviewseniorliving.com.
And Dr. Yam, it seems like more universities around the country are developing these kinds of partnerships with senior communities. I know locally, Goucher College and Edenwald Senior Living announced plans last year for a similar project. Could you talk about why this is happening? Why are universities looking at these kinds of partnerships around the country? And what makes your particular partnership unique?
So I think nationally, George, there is a growing interest in innovative partnerships that seek to bring the community closer to anchor institutions like colleges and universities. So this project, places Notre Dame at the forefront of that movement in Maryland. It reflects the evolving importance of lifelong learning and the role that universities can play as anchors. It supports the long-term goals of the university while remaining fully online with our mission at Notre Dame. It allows us to steward our campus responsibly, strengthen our community presence, and expand distinctive learning opportunities for students. It will create jobs in the greater Baltimore City area as well.
Okay.
And it builds on 5-year history with Renaissance Institute. So we've already been in that space with seniors. And so now we're building on that space. So I think that too, we know the benefits the university campus can offer: intellectual vitality, cultural richness, a sense of purpose that many older adults are seeking and enjoy. And as mentioned previously, the research consistently shows that engagement and learning, social connection contribute to cognitive and emotional well-being. And all of that is within a walkable, welcoming environment, our campus.
How do you see this partnership benefiting the university financially and strategically?
Yes, so I think that as mentioned, it allows us to steward the campus responsibly. This land was not being used. And now to be able to have this community with all the benefits that it will bring both the residents as well as the students at Notre Dame, it's a win-win. And for the city as well, with the jobs that it will bring. And residents will be able to stay in their communities if they so choose. They'll be able to stay closer to family and friends, perhaps, or their healthcare providers, their houses of worship, without having to move far away.
And Austin, could you talk about how Brightview consulted with the surrounding neighborhood about the project? I know there were some concerns that the community might lose some overflow parking in the cemetery next to the project. What kind of feedback did you receive, and how did that shape the final plans?
Yeah, so this has been a long-term collaboration with various stakeholders. We've been working on this project for close to 6 years now, and a big part of that has been in kind of engaging with all of the surrounding neighbors. So we early on and often engaged with the Homeland Association, Villages of Homeland West and East, obviously the university, St. Mary's Cemetery at the City of Baltimore. And a lot of what we did was fact-finding in terms of trying to figure out what was important and which was important to every group, as well as what concerns there might be for each of these groups. And so you're right. I mean, one of the considerations was for St. Mary's Cemetery. They're currently utilizing the Knights of Columbus building, some of that parking for their overflow parking, particularly when they have a funeral procession or something of that nature. And so one of the things that we worked through early on was to put an agreement in place whereby we would bring that parking on site at St. Mary's Cemetery. So we've come to agreement where we will be early on in our project building 20 parking spaces as well as a loop road within St. Mary's Cemetery to alleviate their need to come to kind of the future site of our community. Some of the other things that were brought up between both the city and the neighbors was kind of the building setback level from the street, how far away the building would be. And so we had a lot of discussion with all parties involved to come to a place where everyone felt good about where we landed with the design. And I think I'm really proud of where we ended up with all parties being supportive of kind of the current configuration.
And how many stories is the building?
So there is a kind of natural grade that falls as you get closer to the university. So on the front-facing portion, it will look as though you have three, and on the back side towards the university, there will be a terrace level, so there will be four stories in the back.
Okay.
And one of the great features about being on the university campus is that we're sitting a little higher, and so we're going to have an outdoor courtyard area, a really expansive one, so that our residents can spend time outdoors overlooking the campus. And I think that's going to be a great way for our residents to be able to connect and physically see the connection between our community and the campus, and the trail system between our community walkway and the campus trail system will be connected as well. So really looking forward to that piece.
Okay. And Dr. Yan, we have about a minute left. Looking down the road 5 or 10 years, what do you hope that this partnership will have achieved, both for the seniors and for your college community?
So I think that this development embodies who we are as a Notre Dame of Maryland University academic community, you know, an institution that's committed to educating, connecting, and transforming lives across generations. So we all look forward to seeing that unfold over the next decade.
Okay. And Austin, could you give us that web address one more time if people want more information?
Sure, it's www.brightviewseniorliving.com.
Great. Well, our guests today have been Dr. Mary Lou Yam, President of Notre Dame of Maryland University, and Austin Koo, Development Director at Brightview Senior Living. Dr. Yam and Austin, thanks again so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, our guest will be Melissa Victor, who is currently touring with the hit musical Wicked. Melissa is a graduate of Archbishop Borders Catholic School in Highlandtown, and she'll be answering some questions from current students there. I'm George Matusek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. The first major snowstorm to hit the Archdiocese of Baltimore in a decade disrupted Catholic Schools Week celebrations and forced parishes to adjust mass schedules as up to 11 inches of snow blanketed the region. Archbishop William E. Lurie did not issue a formal dispensation from the Sunday mass obligation, but reminded Catholics they are not required to attend when travel is unsafe. He encouraged parishes to offer additional Saturday Masses before the January 25th storm and urged the homebound to tune into live streams. Many parishes responded by adding vigil Masses while canceling Sunday liturgies. Catholic schools faced weather-related closures throughout the week, with plans for Catholic Schools Week disrupted. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. The average tuition for Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that charge traditional tuition rose to $20,161 for the 2025-26 academic year, reflecting a 5.6% increase from last year, according to the Catholic Review's annual survey of non-public school tuition expenses. Non-Catholic private schools reported an average tuition of $35,414, an increase of 4.6% compared with previous academic year. Catholic schools continue to offer a more affordable option for many families. On average, Catholic high school tuition in the region is approximately 43% lower than that of non-Catholic private schools. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For everyone at Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. visit mercyridge.com.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisak. We're happy to have a special guest joining us this segment, professional performer Melissa Victor, who is currently touring with the hit musical Wicked. The popular show recently wrapped up its Baltimore run at the Hippodrome, and Melissa was featured as the cover story of the February issue of the Catholic Review. Melissa is a proud graduate of Archbishop Borders Catholic School in Highlandtown, and today she'll be answering some questions from current students at her alma mater. A parishioner of St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church in Baltimore, the nation's first Black Catholic parish, Melissa has taken her talents from the church choir to stages across the country. Here are Melissa's responses to student questions.
Hey everybody, my name is Melissa Victor, and I play Shin Shin in the national tour of Wicked the Musical. I'm also a part of the second graduating class of Archbishop Borders School in Baltimore. So I'm so excited to hear from some of the students at Archbishop Borders and answer some questions about music and musical theater and Broadway and all of the things. So our first question is from Jaden, and Jaden asks, how and why did I decide that I wanted to do music?
Hello, Melissa. My name is Jaden, and I was wondering how and why you started pursuing music as a singer.
And the answer is very simple. I started singing in church. I go to St. Francis Xavier Catholic Church, and you have to be 5 years old to join the youth choir. And so at five, I joined the youth choir, and I just couldn't stop singing. I would sing at church, I would sing at school, I would sing at swim practice, I was singing all the time. And then eventually I was in dance classes, and then I was in acting classes, and it was something that I was just doing for fun, something that made me very happy. My mom said that I would act out a lot of the TV shows I would watch in the living room. So it was just something fun to do. But then when I was 10 years old, I got the opportunity to see my first Broadway show. I got to see the original cast of Aida. And that's when I realized that people actually did this for a living. Like, this was people's jobs. So that's when I realized, oh wow, you can sing, dance, and act and make money from it. So something that I love to do just for fun turned into something that I wanted to do for the rest of my life as a job. Okay, my next question is from Fiorella. Hi, Fiorella. And she asks, how much time do I have to practice before a show?
Hi, Melissa. My name is Fiorella. How much time do you have to practice before a show?
So it all depends on what type of show you're joining. So when I joined Wicked, I had about 3 weeks of rehearsals before I started performances. And I know that doesn't seem like a lot of time, and in actuality, it isn't. But you spend all day rehearsing for about 5-6 hours, and you watch the show at night so you can see what you learned, you know, in real time. If you're starting from a new show that hasn't been done before, you may have a little longer rehearsal time. You may have about 6 to 8 weeks to rehearse. But since Wicked has been out for 22 years, when they plug people in throughout the year, they give us about 3 weeks. So I had 3 weeks to learn Shen Shen, and then I had about another 2 weeks to learn my understudy track, Madame Morrible. So sometimes it takes you 2 weeks to learn something, and it can take up to 8 weeks. And then I still practice, even while I'm in the show, we still have rehearsal. If I'm ever on for Madame Morrible, I still go over my lines before the show. So the practice never stops. Even if you've been in the show for almost a year like I have, I still have to practice, I still have to rehearse. So the practicing actually never stops. And our next question comes from Demi. Hi, Demi. And Demi asks, why did I start acting?
Hello, Melissa. I'm Demi. And my question for you is, why did you start acting?
I started acting because I love telling stories. I originally started telling stories through song. I loved singing. I loved telling stories and touching people through music. And then when I started dance class, you know, dancing was all about telling stories through movement. And that was really fascinating. And I loved doing it. So I've always been a storyteller. And then to be able to mix those two things together and then add some lines, it was like the perfect combination for me. I've always been a storyteller. Even when I'm just talking to my friends, they say that they love the way that I tell a simple story. So I guess that's one of the reasons why I got into acting, why I loved acting. But it really started with my love of singing and dancing. It all kind of came together. I think storytelling is magical and it's powerful, and just being able to be on stage and let people experience a show and escape their reality for about 2 to 3 hours is a special gift that we have as performers. And I love being able to give that gift to people all the time. So, yeah.
Have a burning question about the Catholic Church? Curious about faith, traditions, current issues, or ways of deepening your spiritual life? Now's your chance to ask a bishop. Call in to Catholic Review Radio and leave a recording of yourself asking a question for our special guest, Baltimore Auxiliary Bishop Adam J. Parker. Whether it's about the sacraments, church teaching, or everyday faith, no question is too big or too small. Your question may be featured on an upcoming episode of Catholic Review Radio with Bishop Parker. Dial 443-263-0230 now to ask your question. Don't miss out, your voice matters. Again, that's 443-263-0230. And be on the lookout for our special Ask a Bishop episode coming soon.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.